kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Filipino on mobile, online, and on radio.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino sa mobile, online, at radio.
Nais naming kilalanin ang tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain mula saan kami sumasayang papawid sa araw na ito. Ang SBS Filipino ay nagbibigay galang sa mamamayan ng Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung ng Kulin Nation at sa mga nakakatandang miyembro ng kanilang komunidad noon at ngayon. Kinikilala din namin ang mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng mga lupain ng Aboriginal at Torres Strait Islander mula sa mga lugar na kinatatayuan ng aming mga tagapakinig.
I would have to say a little boy from Argoncillo. His name was Ramjay. He was 13. He's just a young, very happy, bright kid. He recently lost his home to the natural disasters that we were also contributing to help build. And every time we would show up to just visit, he would be so enthusiastic to see us and then just to play basketball and just connect. It's like that, even though he lost his house, he still felt like he had everything.
Pananaw sa buhay na bago ng isang tao, ng isang biyahe, ng isang lugar. Yan at marami pang iba sa programa ngayong Miyerkules ng umaga. Para sa pinakahuling balita mula SBS Filipino, narito si Martin Tuanyo.
Sa detalye ng mga balita ngayong Miyerkules, 20 Agosto taong 2025. Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu inakusahan si Albanese ng pagtatraidor sa Israel at pagtalikod sa komunidad ng mga Hudyo sa Australia. Federal na pamahalaan gagastos ng $1.3 billion para sa mga bagong counter-drone na gagamitin sa Olympic Games sa Brisbane sa 2032. At Pilipinas, Australia at Canada nagsagawa ng joint sale sa South China Sea bilang bahagi ng alon. Para sa mga detalye, inakusahan ni Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu si Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese ng pagtatraidor sa Israel at pagtalikod sa komunidad ng mga Hudyo sa Australia. Lumabas ang pahayag na ito matapos bawiin ng Israel ang mga visa ng mga Australian diplomat na naka-assign sa Palestinian Authority. Ito ay kasunod ng pagkilala ng Australia sa Estado ng Palestine at pagkansela ng visa ng isang politikong Israeli. Sa isang tweet mula sa kanyang opisina, ito ang sinabi ni Netanyahu.
History will remember Albanese for what he is, a weak politician who betrayed Israel and abandoned Australia's Jews.
Ang politiko ay nakatakdang makipagkita sa komunidad ng mga Hudyo sa Australia na nagsasabing tumataas ang bilang ng mga anti-Semitic attacks mula na magsimula ang digmaan sa Gaza halos 2 taon na ang nakalilipas. Ayon kay Foreign Minister Penny Wong, hindi makatarungan ng batikos ng Israel laban sa punong ministro at babala niya, maaaring lalong lumalim ang diplomatic isolation ng Israel dahil dito. Samantala, gagastos ang federal na pamahalaan ng $1.3 billion para sa mga bagong counter-drone sa loob ng susunod na 10 taon at inaasahang gagamitin ang teknolohiyang ito sa pagdaraos ng Olympic Games sa Brisbane sa 2032. Ayon kay Defense Industry Minister Pat Conroy, bahagi ang mga counter-drone na ito ng Project Land 156 ng Australian Defense Force na layuning mapabilis ang paggamit ng teknolohiyang ito sa kanilang serbisyo.
The government will announce further counter-drone acquisitions in the near future as part of Land 156, including contracts for a system integration partner for the continuous delivery of counter-drone capability. This will include command and control capability and advanced counter-drone sensors and effectors, giving the ADF more options to protect Australian defence bases.
Dagdag pa niya, nakikipagtulungan ng Australia sa Defence Australia upang samantalahin ang mga oportunidad sa pag-e-export at mapalawak ang kakayahan ng mga manggagawang kasali sa makabagong teknolohiyang ito sa Queensland. Magtatanggal naman ng hanggang 3,000 empleyado ang pharmaceutical giant sa Australia na CSL at ihihiwalay rin ang negosyo nila sa flu vaccine para makatipid ng $500 million. Inanunsyo ito ng kumpanya sa kanilang taunang ulat nitong Martes. Sabi ni CEO Paul McKenzie, wala raw dapat ipag-alala sa taripa mula sa Estados Unidos pero nag-aalala siya sa bumababang bilang ng pagpapabakuna. Kahit ganito, lumago pa rin ang kita ng CSL. Tumaas ng 5% ang revenue at umabot sa $4.6 billion ang kita pagtapos ng buwis. Ayon kay McKenzie, pagbago-bago na raw ang takbo ng merkado ng gamot sa buong mundo, kaya kailangan nilang mag-adjust gawing mas simple ang operasyon at siguraduhing natutupad ang mga kailangan sa pinansyal na aspeto. Para sa karagdagang balita, binibigyang babala ang Australia tungkol sa epekto ng artificial intelligence o AI habang umaasa ang gobyerno na makatutulong ito sa pagpapataas ng mababang productivity ng bansa. Isa ang AI sa mga pangunahing paksa sa ikalawang araw ng Economic Reform Roundtable ng gobyerno ngayong araw, kasama ng usapan tungkol sa regulasyon at kompetisyon. Ayon kay Treasurer Jim Chalmers, malaki raw ang potensyal ng AI na baguhin ang takbo ng ekonomiya at pagbutihin ang pamumuhay ng mga tao. Pero ayon kay Jathan Sadowski, isang lecturer mula sa Monash University, mas komplikado raw ang sitwasyon. Anya, binabago ng AI kung paano ginagawa ang trabaho, pero hindi ibig sabihin ay mas magiging maayos ito agad. Madalas pang araw, ito'y nagdudulot ng panibagong problema na kailangang ayusin ng mga manggagawa. Balita naman sa Pilipinas, nagsasagawa ng joint sail o magkakasamang paglalayag sa South China Sea ang mga Navy ng Pilipinas, Australia at Canada ngayong Martes, isang lugar na pinag-uusapan kamakailan dahil sa banggaan ng dalawang Chinese vessel noong nakaraang linggo. Kabilang sa operasyon ang barkong pandigmaan ng Pilipinas na BRP Jose Rizal, Australian destroyer na HMAS Brisbane at Canadian frigate na HMCS Ville de Quebec. Ayon sa isang opisyal ng militar ng Pilipinas, hindi ito nakatuon laban sa kahit anong bansa. Mula sa ulat ng Reuters, nagsimula ang aktibidad noong linggo sa may kanlurang bahagi ng Oriental Mindoro at matatapos ito sa Palawan. Bahagi ito ng isinasagawang military drill sa pagitan ng Pilipinas at Australia. Ang aktibidad ay tinatawag na ALUN. Ang 15 araw na joint exercises na nagsimula noong Agosto 15 ay may kasamang amphibious at land operation, pati na rin live fire drills para mas mapabuti ang pagtutulungan ng dalawang militar. Ito na ang pinakamalaking joint activity sa ngayon na may humigit kumulang 3,000 sundalo mula sa Pilipinas at Australia at may kasama ring contingent mula sa Canadian Navy at US Marines. At sa lagay ng panahon ngayong Miyerkules, makararanas ng pag-ulan ng mga sumusunod Perth at 19, Canberra at 15, Sydney at Newcastle sa temperaturang 17 degrees Celsius, pati na rin ang Brisbane sa temperaturang 20 degrees Celsius, bahagyang maulap sa Cairns sa 28 habang maaraw. Sa mga sumusunod, Adelaide at 19, Melbourne at 18, Hobart at 17, at sa Darwin sa temperaturang 32 degrees Celsius. Para sa iba pang balita, bisitahin ang www.sbs.com.au/filipino at ang SBS Filipino Facebook page. Martin Tuanyo, SBS Filipino. Susunod, Maridel Martinez sa ikalawang bahagi ng programa. Magandang umaga.
Magandang umaga muli sa mga nakikinig sa SBS Filipino ngayong ika-20 araw ng Agosto. Naku, kulang-kulang 2 linggo na lang, Setyembre na. Magandang umaga, Maridel Martinez. Ang inyong kasama hanggang alas 11 ngayong umaga at syempre, Martin Tuanyo. Magandang umaga sa iyo.
Magandang umaga, Maridel. At magandang umaga po sa lahat na nakikinig sa atin ngayong Miyerkules. Dito sa SBS Filipino, malusog na ba ang lahat?
Tina-try. Ngayon naman, si Claudette naman ang medyo masama ang pakiramdam. Kaya yes, ingat po kayo lahat dyan sa mga, lalo na yung mga lumalabas ka araw-araw para sa trabaho. Dahil naku, samot saring mga sakit. Sipon, ubo, maraming, meron akong mga i-interviewin dapat eh nag-cancel dahil inuubo din. So, yun yata ang uso ngayon, no, Martin?
yun ang pangit na uso, no, na nagkakaroon tayo. Nagkakaroon ng sakit siguro dahil nga, lagi nasa labas, siguro pabago-bagong panahon.
Oo. Sa tingin ko, tuwing nagbabago kasi nandun na tayo sa transition ng winter to spring.
Yes.
At pag spring, ang pinag-uusapan nga ay, naku, madami na naman ang hahatching o maatching. Yan, dahil nga pollen. Kaya mag-ingat po kayo at siguradong marami sa atin ang parang nararamdaman na naku, parang nanghihina, 'di ba? O di kaya parang sumasakit ang ulo, ayan, umuubo-ubo. Kaya pag yung iba nga, 'di ba, pag may umuubo sa tren, lumalayo agad.
Oo, ako naman madalas pag sumasakit ang ulo ko, parang kailangan ko paracetamol.
Magandang ano rin 'yan, gamot 'yan. Sana mabigyan tayo ng lahat ng ganyan. At sa mga ito, Martin, na pag-usapan mo sa balita na yung AI, isa sa mga tatalakayin sa isang linggong pagpupulong ng mga mababatas sa Canberra. At ang kung gaano nga ba ito makakatulong sa pagpapalago ng ekonomiya.
Dahil nga kamakailan nasabi ni Treasurer Jim Chalmers na malaking na game changer daw itong AI sa pagpapabilis at pagiging efficient ng mga trabaho dito. Pagpapalago nga ng productivity. Pero syempre may mga iba na nagbibigay babala sa paggamit ng artificial intelligence.
Lalo na yung mga nasa larangan ng sining. Marami sa mga larangan ng sining ang medyo nangangamba at nababahala dahil sa pagpasok ng AI ay maaring palitan yung mga gawa nila tulad ng mga graphic artist, nung mga sketch artist, diba? Kasi pwede na silang palitan ng AI.
Dahil nga, so parang kada buwan may nagbabago, merong development ang mga AI.
O di kaya yung mga manunulat, pwedeng kunin ng AI yung gawa nila tapos i-rephrase, tapos gawing parang sariling gawa ng mga ibang tao, di ba? Parang nung nakaraang taon ba o nung 2 taon na nakalipas, nauso yung ChatGPT, di ba?
Even nga voice artist din, di ba? Kaya na i-detect ng AI.
Marami ngayon sa sa social media, yung makikita mo yung bumata na Martin Tuanyo, tapos parang siya, anong itsura matanda niya pagtanda niya. So, medyo nakakatuwa na nakakatakot, hindi ba?
Oo, sobrang parang siya nakaka-entertain siya sa simula, di ba? Kasi parang bago sa mata mo.
Oo,
di ba? Pero pag habang tumatagal,
pag napapaisip ka na.
Oo, nakikita mo na yung risk ipanganib.
Pero may mga tulong din. Kasi alam ko yung AI nakakatulong siya sa mga kunyari meron kang tinatawag na macular degeneration, nakakatulong siya dahil sasabihin mo sa AI na buksan mo yung ilaw. O di kaya ay ano ang nakikita ko to sa mga seniors na tinatanong, so ano ang lagay ng panahon? O di kaya, di ba kasi yung AI kahit sa smartphone natin meron, di ba?
Yes.
So tawagan mo si Martin, hindi mo na kailangang hanapin, lalo na kung malabo na yung mata mo, hahanapin mo pa kung ano yung pangalan, hindi ba? O paminsan, di ba, kahit pinakamalaking font na sa telepono, hirap na hirap ka pa rin. Yung mga ganong bagay nakakabuti sa buhay, pero meron ding mga bagay na ika nga'y nakakasama.
Lalo't na pag sobra-sobra na. Yung siguro yung pag hindi na siya in moderation. Oo, hindi na siya in moderation. Para siyang alak. Pag sobra-sobra, hindi po maganda.
Ang ganda naman ang metaphor mo. Pero kasi diba sabi nila, yung ChatGPT lalo na, nakakatulong siya sa mga taong hindi magaling magsulat. Pero pag inabuso mo, na hindi rin maganda kasi parang ninanakaw mo rin yung talino ng iba, hindi ba? Yung mga ganong bagay-bagay. Pero alam mo ba, Martin, na nung ikalawang digmaang pangdaigdig pa lamang ay buhay na ang AI.
Itong hindi ko pa alam sa ngayon.
Siya ang nakilala. Siguro napanood mo na yun, yung pelikulang Enigma.
Enigma? Mm-mm.
Si Benedict Cumberbatch. Tama ba?
Yes.
Oo. Yun ang kauna. Yun yung isang pinakamagandang ehemplo ng AI. Pero siya mismo yung nag-isip, in-analyze niya na hinadlangan, parang kinuha nila yung mga code ng dinadala ng mga Germans sa mga iba't ibang satellites nila, hindi ba, sa ibang bahagi ng mundo. So binrake nila yung code na yun sa pamamagitan ng computer. Napakalaki, di ba? Parang isang dingding, isang buong kwarto. Pero yun ang simula, sabi ng marami, yun ang simula ng computer. At yun nga, AI.
At hanggang, parang doon medyo manual pa yung naging trabaho, di ba?
Tapos ginagawa pa rin ng mga tao, yes, di ba? Parang kinukuha nila kung ano yung code, tapos parang tele, may mga ano yun, di ba? Parang Morse code, kumbaga. Mm-hmm. Tapos binibreak, siya yung mismo ang nag-isip. So, dahil pabuti na ng pabuti yung teknolohiya, ngayon ay nakakapag-isip na ng mag-isa yung computer. Pero sabi nga ng maraming mga dalubhasa, dapat nyo rin isaalang-alang na ang gumagawa rin ng AI ay
tao din.
Kaya nasa, tignan natin kung anong kakalabasan ng Productivity Commission at bago pa kamutin ni Martin ang ulo niya dahil sasabihin ko na naman kung ano na naman ang ituturo ko sa araw na ito. Tungo tayo sa mga mahalagang bagay-bagay para sa araw na ito. Partikular sa usapin ng diplomasya ng Israel at Australia at mga kababayan natin, nakilala ang mga ilang high school students mula dito sa CRC North Keeler na nagpunta sa Pilipinas para sa isang linggong immersion. At nakasama nila yung mga bata sa Hapilan, mga pamilya sa Hapiland at sa isang sa Agoncillo sa Tagaytay. Ayan. Ikaw, Martin, nakapunta ka na ba ng Hapiland?
Hapiland? Parang hindi pa.
Sa Tondo. Yun yung parang payatas.
Uy, parang taga-Tondo ko dati. Kailangan ko yung malaman.
Ang alam ko dati nung panahon ko nung lumalaki ako, Smoky Mountain. Pero sinara na yon, naging Hapiland na yata ngayon.
Ah, yun yung tawag ngayon.
Oo, ibang lugar naman. Mm-hmm. Ayan. So alamin natin yan at syempre ano nga ba ang sagot sa kung kumakati ang inyong mga balat at nanunuyo ito sa Healthy Pinoy, hatid ni Claudette Centeno. Pero bago yan, ilan munang mahalagang paalala. Susunod sa SBS Filipino, alamin naman natin ang mga nangyayari o kaganapan sa medyo lumalalang tensyon sa pagitan ng Australia at Israel bunga ng mga kaganapan sa gitnang silangan. Narito ang natatanging ulat, hatid ni Edinel Magtibay.
Matagal at matibay ang naging relasyon ng Australia at Israel. Noong 1949, isa ang Australia sa unang kumilala sa Israel pagkaraang maitayo ito bilang isang estado. Sa mga nagdaang dekada, kadalasan ay nasa panig ng Israel ang Australia sa mga digmaan at labanan laban sa mga karatig bansa at sa mga Palestinian sa okupadong teritoryo. Pero bakit nag-aalala ang mga politikong tulad ni Opposition Senators James Patterson at Susan Lee?
There's no question that Australia's bilateral relationship with Israel is the worst it has ever been since the creation of the State of Israel following World War II.
I really regret the way that the relationship between the Albanese government and the government of Israel is deteriorating.
Nauwi ito sa bagong sigalot matapos ang plano ng gobyerno na kilalanin ang Palestine bilang estado at ang pagtanggi sa visa ng isang Israeli politician. Matagal nang tumataas ang tensyon sa pagitan ng dalawang bansa, lalo na ngayong halos dalawang taon nang may digmaan sa Gaza. Mas tumindi ito nitong buwan nang ihayag ni Prime Minister Anthony Albanese na kikilalanin ng Australia ang Palestine sa susunod na pulong ng United Nations General Assembly. Nangangamba si Dr. Martin Keir ng University of Sydney na maaring bahagi ito ng mas malaking pressure ng international community sa Israel.
The government's decision to recognize the Palestinian state wasn't unilateral. They've done this obviously in the concert with France, Britain, Canada and other states, so it's not unprecedented. But certainly it's a reflection of the increased diplomatic pressure being placed on Israel to resolve the war in Gaza and the horrendous cost to civilians.
Si Simcha Rothman, isang politiko mula sa Israel ng National Religious Party o Religious Zionism, na nakatakda sanang magsagawa ng speaking tour sa Australia pero tinanggihan ang kanyang visa dahil sa mga pahayag na itinuturing na mapanira, kabilang na ang pagtawag sa lahat ng batang Palestinian sa Gaza bilang kaaway ng Israel. Ang leader ng kanilang partido, si Israel Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, ay sinanction din ng Australian government nitong Hunyo dahil umano sa pag-uudyok ng karahasan at paglabag sa karapatang pantao ng mga Palestinian. Pero ayon kay Opposition Leader Susan Lee, nilalagay ng gobyerno sa alanganin ang matagal ng relasyon ng Australia at Israel.
Israel is a liberal democracy in the Middle East and we should be supporting them. This is an elected member of the Israeli parliament and it's a very unusual thing to refuse a visa. And I haven't seen explanations from Tony Burke that actually explain what is going on here.
Matapos bawiin ang visa, tinawag ng Foreign Minister ng Israel na si Gideon Sa'ar na shameful ang desisyon ng Australia sa kanyang post sa X. Sinabi rin niyang ang hakbang ay nag-uudyok ng anti-Semitism. Kasunod nito, binawi rin ng Israel ang visa ng mga Australian diplomats na nakatalaga sa Palestinian Authority. Isang desisyon na tinawag ni Foreign Minister Penny Wong na unjustified. Nagpapahirap ito sa mga plano ng Australia na tumulong sa pagbuo ng framework para sa Palestinian statehood. Ayon kay Finance Minister Katie Gallagher, maling timing ang naging pasya ng Israel.
At a time when we need more diplomacy and more dialogue between countries, this is a disappointing decision. We're not, you know, surprised necessarily by it. We saw similar steps taken against other countries, for example, Norway, when decision was taken about recognising Palestine. But our view is this is unjustified and, you know, we need more talk, more diplomacy, more channels in for discussion than we've needed before.
Samantala, nanindigan ang koalisyon na babawiin nila ang pagkilala sa Palestine kung sakaling sila ay muling maluklok sa kapangyarihan. Ayon kay Nationals leader David Littleproud, ang desisyon ni Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke na tanggihan ng visa ay nakakasira sa pundasyon ng relasyon ng Australia at Israel.
This is a worrying development that I think Tony Burke firstly needs to give the full list of reasons as to why this visa was cancelled so that there is transparency for the Australian people. But ultimately, let's not sugarcoat it. The reality is it's because of the actions of this government that wants to recognize a Palestinian state before they're ready.
Pero sabi ni Dr. Keir, hindi bago ang pagtanggi ng Australia sa visa ng mga itinuturing na extremist political figures at nakahanay pa rin ito sa posisyon ng gobyerno na itulak ang two-state solution.
Well, I think it's pretty consistent with what the government has done in the past. I mean, it's certainly rejected visas from other far-right figures. And I think it's consistent with its position on recognizing a Palestinian state. I mean, this is a person who doesn't recognize Palestinians exist at all, and there should never be a Palestinian state. So I think it's the government's decision was consistent with its position that there's going to be a Palestinian state, and they reject efforts to prevent that.
Iginiit naman ni Minister Wong na may karapatan ng gobyerno na protektahan ng Australia laban sa hate speech at panganib. Pero binigyan din ni Simcha Rothman sa isang panayam sa Israel na tinanggihan ang kanyang visa dahil sa terror threats ng ilang Australian Muslims.
One thing, the threats of terror by the Muslims, the same jihadist mob that shouts in the streets from the river to the sea, Palestine would be free. Apparently that's not inflammatory for the Australian government, but that's the only thing that has changed. They got threats, they got scared, and they did not learn the lessons. And sadly, here in Israel, we learned in a very heavy price.
Itinanggi naman ni Minister Wong ang akusasyong ito at sinabi na hindi ito basihan ng kanilang desisyon. Dagdag pa ni Dr. Keir, ang paggamit ng akusasyon ng anti-Semitism ay bahagi ng strategiya upang pahinain ang diskusyon tungkol sa pagkakaroon ng parehong estado para sa mga Israeli at Palestinian.
Yes. Anti-Semitism has been on the rise since October 7, but equally, Islamophobia has been perhaps even more on the rise. I think this is this traditional ultra-nationalist playbook where any criticism of Israeli politics or policies is deemed as being inherently anti-Semitic, where Israel is the epitome of Judaism, which is highly contested within the Jewish world. Any accusation of anti-Semitism is meant to delegitimate the argument and counter that. So it's a predictable response from Rothman, but I don't think it's a general reflection of what's happening in Australia at all.
Yan ang ulat ni Sam Dover para sa SBS News na isinalin sa ating wika. Ako si Edinal Magtibay para sa SBS Filipino.
Maraming salamat, Edinal Magtibay, sbs.com.au/Filipino, ang aming website page, SBS Filipino ang aming Facebook page, at SBS Audio app, libreng i-download sa inyong mga smartphone. Maridel Martinez sa iyong kasama hanggang alas 11 ngayong umaga. Narito muna ang ilang mahalagang paalala. Susunod sa SBS Filipino, alamin naman natin ang naging mga karanasan ng tatlong mag-aaral mula sa CRC North Keeler sa kanilang naging paglakbay sa Pilipinas nitong taong 2025. With me today from CRC North Keeler is David Magris and three students who just came back from the Philippines, Gavin Tran, Imogen Klein, and Emma Beasley. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
David, tell us more about the trip. Because if I'm not mistaken, is this the second or the third?
This is the third one that we've, as a school, have done to the Philippines as an immersion trip. So what we did, we took 12 students away to the Philippines, three teachers, and the idea of it was to immerse students into the Filipino culture and also give a perspective on how other people live, and to do some work with some of the poorer communities of the Philippines.
How do you choose who goes and...
Yeah, it was through their own application to go to the Philippines. And so they just went through the process of finding out about what the trip is. I know that there was a bigger group that started, and then it filtered down to about 12 of the students, 12 grade students we took away with us.
Emma, what made you want to go to the Philippines?
I wanted to go mainly just to see how life is like for other people, just to get a better perspective on just the way they live there. And I thought that going to the Philippines would be the best way to do it. Also to help out communities and give back.
What made you interested, Imogen?
I was really interested by exploring another culture and seeing how they live from day to day. And I was really excited to learn, like, what they do and how we could help and make a difference in their life.
And Gavin?
I was inclined to the community service that this trip would offer, to, like, give back to communities that are less fortunate to us and experience a new culture.
Those things you can do here in Australia, do you do any of community work around your area as well?
We have a school program that allows us to volunteer in different places, and I've taken part in that, and I'm doing that in Term 4.
And what was it like in the Philippines?
It was very hot, but it was really great that we had a community that was really accepting and welcoming to us. And it was really nice seeing everyone working and just excited to have us around and have new people around.
What was it like for you, Emma?
It was just so different to Australia, like the way they do things, the way they just everything, the food. But it was really great to be immersed in that and to just get a different perspective, because I think here we're kind of just in our little routine, but going outside our comfort zone is really good as well.
You went to Tondo, Gavin? What was that like? You went to Payatas in particular.
Tondo, I would say, was a very enriching experience. We got to see both the good and the bad. Like, the bad being, of course, like, Happy Land. It's not what we're used to. It was, like, eye-opening. It was... Me, personally, I felt scared. But
Why?
I was just scared because going in there, I had the perception of it's a bad place, so it's going to be filled with people who are, like, bad, they're just trying to get by, but it turns out they're just regular people just like myself. but then the area they lived in just gave me a terrible perception of who they are. So, but going into there, I kind of felt different. The people there, they were welcoming. They were trying to come up and say hi. They were just minding their own business. But yeah, it was a great experience.
Different in what way? The area's different in what way?
It was like, it's not like over here. It's like we got houses lined up, grassy green. We got neighbors we can say hi to. It's there. It's like, it's compact. It's made out of like tin. It's damp. It's dark. It's small. It's like we have to duck our heads to walk around. So, yeah.
What was Happy Land like for you, Imogen?
It was really eye-opening to see how they live and how they're still happy even in the circumstance that they're in. And when we're walking past, all of the kids and everyone were so excited to see us, and that really like showed that even though they don't have much, they're still grateful and happy for what they have, which was really, I was really excited and happy to see that.
In Payatas, you would see slum areas.
Yeah, it was very poorly built. Many of the things were just chucked everywhere, lots of rubbish, and everything just looked really worn out.
But what did you see with the people in there? What did you experience when you
looked like they were just trying to live. Like, here we have a bit of comfort. We have a lot of comfort, actually. There it looked like they didn't have anything. They were just really just fighting to survive, trying to look for food, trying to just stay with their families. But lots of kids, I didn't really see them with their parents. Their parents must have been just getting food for them while they also try and help.
And in seeing that, Imogen, what did you feel compared to what you have here in Australia?
It felt kind of like awakening that not everyone is as privileged and as gifted as the people here in Australia. And it really showed that, like, even though they don't have much at all, they always have each other's backs. And that really just, like, showed to me that even if you're not as privileged as we are, like, you should always try and be, like, with friends with someone and always have someone's back.
So the three of you, including your teachers, I would presume, did hard labor as well. What was that like for you, Gavin?
It was enjoyable. It's much different than the kind of work I get up to in Australia. I got to connect with a new community. I got to connect with also my fellow classmates that I probably would have never spoke to before on this trip. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
You were building houses in Tagaytay?
Yes.
Did you, like, carry it brick by brick, Imogen?
Well, the first day we had to carry, like, dirt up to lay on the bottom of the houses. And then the rest of the time we were trying to dig out, like, the structure of the house. And it was very difficult because it was all, like, lava rock and it was very hard. And sometimes it felt like we weren't doing as much as we thought we could, but it was very difficult.
Have you ever experienced anything like that here in Australia? Like literally building a house, a community literally building a house together?
No, I definitely haven't, and it was a first. I think for most people it definitely was a first for us, but I kind of liked it as well because I just felt grateful that we got to help those families that they had natural disasters happen to them, and we were very grateful that we could all help them.
So Gavin said he was able to connect with his classmates through this trip. Apart from connecting with friends in school, did you connect with anyone from the community? Was there this certain child or teacher or person that stood out and that someone you would never forget or someone that has changed your perspective in life? Emma?
There was a few ladies who were just there who had lost their houses to a typhoon earlier, and there was a specific lady, she was 21, she had a 2-year-old daughter, and she couldn't be with her 2-year-old daughter every day because she had to help and build, and that really stood out to me because we do take our family for granted here in Australia, I think. And just seeing her, she's just so resilient, and it just made me feel really grateful about my own family. And to see that even though, like, she didn't have her daughter, she was still happy.
Did that make you hug your parents tighter when you got home?
Yeah, I was really happy. And just seeing kids here in Australia with their parents, I just want to tell them to just be so grateful that they're able to be with their mum and dad.
What about you, Imogen?
I think there was a little boy in Tondo, and he lived in Happyland, and every single time he would come to where we were, he was just so happy and excited to just be with us and to play with us. And I think that really showed that even though he doesn't have a lot at all, he was just happy to be around and still, you know, is joyful. And I really think that helped me sort of realize that the little moments matter. And yeah, that's...
When you heard about Happyland, did you have like an idea of what the place would be like?
Not really. I wasn't really expecting everything that we saw, but I think it was a really great experience to see how they lived. And yeah.
Did anyone change your life, Gavin?
I'd have to say a little boy from Agoncillo. His name was Ramjay. He was 13. He's just a young, very happy, bright kid. He recently lost his home to the natural disasters that we were also contributing to help build. And every time we would show up to just visit, he would be so enthusiastic to see us and then just to play basketball and just connect. It's like that even though he lost his house, he still felt like he had everything he wanted in life. Like he had his family, he had his friends, he had the sport he loved. Like he's just glad that he even had clothes on his back. And like that really made me appreciate not just my family, but also like the little things I have, like being able to like wake up in a warm bed, have a blanket, or even get to see my brother every day. Like I know some kids over there, they've lost their siblings to natural disasters as well.
Living in Australia, what did you realize going there, seeing Agoncillo, seeing Payatas? What did you realize?
I think I realized that everyone, they always had each other's back, and they were very just happy to be with each other and to still have people to talk to as well. And I think when we went there, it was like definitely odd to see that they were all still so happy to just be playing games even after they've lost so much. They've lost like their houses and maybe even their family members in natural disasters, and it was just great to see that.
Last 3 days of your trip, if I'm not mistaken, you stayed in a different part of Manila. You got to experience the other side of the Philippines. What was it like for you, Emma?
It was just so weird to see the comparison. I remember going upstairs to the breakfast. There was a nice buffet, and I was looking out the window, and I just saw all this, like there was, I think it was a lake, and it had all this rubbish in it, and there were still people trying to get it. And then I saw on the other side just normal people just walking around, nice clothes, you know, in their cars and everything. And it just made me think, like, gee, some people have got it really tough, but some people have it really good. Like, it's just, it's so different, yeah.
Living here in Australia, did you ever see that?
No.
That disparity?
You definitely see, like, you know, you might see a couple of homeless people as you're walking through, you know, the city or whatever, but generally speaking, everybody's kind of got enough. Like, not everybody, but, yeah, most people have more than they do.
What about you, Gavin? Staying in the mall, eating in a buffet, what was it like? And then, as Emma said, looking through the window, seeing a different kind of Manila.
It was honestly, I personally felt like it was not much different from what we can get over here in Australia. And it kind of made me appreciate being out in nature more. Like when we stayed at Tagaytay, we stayed at a really nice convent. We could see the mountains, the volcano, the lake, and all the greenery. And then that's something we don't really get to see around here often, being so industrialized and urbanized. So being away from those kind of settings just make me appreciate how peaceful life can be when we're away from like all the busy things that can stress us out sometimes.
Simple things.
Yeah.
Being a teacher and yep. Seeing your students, what was it like seeing them see a different part of the world?
I was just amazed at how good they were. I don't mean behaviour-wise, the behaviour was excellent, but just the way they approached everything. They put their heart and soul into everything that we did. It was hot, it was hard. The days were long. The downtime that we had during that working time was minimal. It was basically back to our accommodation, showers and dinner and bed almost. No complaints. They knew why they were there, and they wanted to give their all, and that's what they did. And as a teacher and as a school, we're just so proud of them, immensely proud of these students.
And what is it like for you personally, see how different life is on the other side of the world?
It was confronting. It was confronting, probably for different reasons to the kids. I think the systematic poverty that's happened in the Philippines from, it seems like, the 1970s in the history that we took in from the nuns. We spoke, a lot with the nuns that looked after us. It just confronting that could happen to such a large group of people. Made me hug my family a lot more when I got home. I was so rapt to see him. But also, I just feel like I want to do more there. I could easily go back today, hop on a plane, and go do go help again, do the stuff that we were doing.
What did it teach you about community, Emma?
It taught me that you have to stick together, like, no matter what. If you're trying to do it by yourself, you can't. You need a whole group. And I really found that when we were working with Gawad Kalinga in Angoncilio, when we were doing, the digging. It's hard. You can't do it by yourself. You need everybody's help. You need different tools and support.
Thank you very much, David, Emma, Imogen, and Gavin from CRC North Keeler.
Thank you
for having us.
Susunod sa Healthy Pinoy, ano nga bang pwedeng gawin kapag nanunuyo at nangangati ang ating balat, partikular pag malamig ang lagay ng panahon? Narito ang Healthy Pinoy, hatid ni Claudette Centeno.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Nangangati ka ba tuwing winter? O may mga skin allergy na bigla na lang sumulpot sa tuwing malamig ang panahon? Ayon sa mga eksperto, maaaring ito ay dermatitis, eczema, o di kaya hives. Ano-ano ba ang mga terminong ito? At paano magagamot ngayong taglamig? Alamin kasama si Dr. Sharon Sugilon sa Healthy Pinoy. Healthy Pinoy.
Ngayong umaga ay may mga katanungan tayo tungkol sa ating kalusugan, at upang sagutin ang mga ito, kasama natin sa programa Dr. Sharon Sugilon. Doc, tatalakayin natin ngayon ang tungkol sa mga karaniwan o common skin problems ng mga Pinoy tuwing winter o taglamig nga, at kung paano natin ito maaaring i-manage o iwasan. Ano-ano ba yung mga karaniwang skin problems nating mga Pinoy dito sa Australia, lalo na't hindi tayo sanay sa weather and season dito?
Because where we are, the seasonal weather changes, it can really, so we call it winter rash. So there's actually a term for it where, our skin becomes really dry and dehydrated. And the most common skin condition so far that I have encountered, especially this year, number one is dermatitis. So dermatitis is a term which refers to inflammation of the skin. Mm. Your skin becomes dry, becomes really itchy. Uh-huh. And most common, so there are different types of dermatitis. The most common would be contact dermatitis. So now that we have a lot of international Filipino students, and where they study and at the same time able to work, a lot of service-related work they do. So using a lot of harsh chemicals on their skin when they work and traveling. So a lot of them have, those inflamed skin, really itchy and really troubled by this. Mm-mm. So that's one. Second, most common would be in babies and children. So I've seen a lot of babies and children with eczema. Eczema is common, and it tends to develop like my family history of asthma or allergies. And these babies are really irritable, not happy, not feeding, not sleeping. even the kids, they scratch themselves all the time. Mm-hmm. And when you look at their skin, it's really dry, flaky, and, you know, really bothered by these rashes. So those are the two most common causes. I've also encountered one we call cold urticaria. So she just went out in a cold weather and then she developed hives, yung pantal-pantal. So that's another common one where, you know, the skin is swollen, it's itchy, and then it has that bumps, yung pantal-pantal, because of the cold weather. They're just sensitive to cold air, so that's another one. But most of the time, it just goes away once you come inside and get warm.
Ito yung mga pinaka-common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Doc, itong mga skin problems, so allergies, napansin ko lang, they flare up more during winter. Ito ba dahil mm-hmm. sa weather or environmental factors? Why? Why do they flare up in winter mostly?
Yeah. Okay, so usually, you know, our skin has this outer layer where you have the skin cells and these natural oils that hold water inside your skin. Mm. But this helps your skin feel soft, moisturized, and smooth. But then during the cold weather, you know, cold temperature can affect the condition of the skin. For example, if you go out, so you have cold air, low humidity, and then high winds, so outdoors, these environmental factors can strip your skin of this much-needed moisture. And then, because you're cold, you get inside, you come inside, and then you turn up the heater, you take hot showers.
Yes.
And so these can also strip further that barrier. So all these factors can actually cause your skin to lose its natural oil and that outer layer. So the moisture escapes, your skin gets dry and then itchy, and then you get these rashes. So other causes apart from that would be if you're sensitive to soaps, and, you know, harsh chemicals, ingredients in your skincare, so it can also cause itch. Or if you're stressed and fatigued, you can, you know, it can also cause, you know, at this time, cause itchy, dry skin. And a misconception, but actually in the winter, we also have high UV rays, so you can get sunburns. And so it's really important to still protect your skin, even though it's winter with sunscreen.
And there's also a chance that people develop allergies and skin condition, kahit na wala silang ganun before. Like myself, Doc, I can say that, you know, from the Philippines, I didn't have that. Parang wala siya, as in wala, hindi siya nag-exist.
Yeah.
When I came here, nagsilabas. Basan yung mga allergies. That's possible, right?
Yes, very possible. And I've heard a lot of Filipinos saying that, I really had good skin in the Philippines. Why here? Eto na, you know, I don't have nice skin anymore. What's happening? So definitely possible. And so like I mentioned, those causes above. And once you know the causes, then you can address them and prevent dry skin from developing. I would say is to really ensure your skin stays smooth and hydrated during winter. So drinking plenty of water. But in terms of what you can do for your skin is to not use any soap. When I say not soap, so use non-soap cleanser or shower gel, so soap-free hand wash, so you can get that from your chemist or from the supermarket. And then when you shower, you just avoid too hot water on your skin. So maybe lukewarm water is best, not too cold, not too hot. When you dry your skin, you just pat it dry rather than rubbing. And of course, using moisturizer straight after you get out of the shower to keep the moisture in. Using a humidifier at home, you know, when we have dry heat inside, it can dry the skin. So getting a humidifier for home can actually add moisture to the air. Like I mentioned, using sunscreen when outdoors. And if you can, if you have itchy skin, and then if it develops, you have itchy, dry skin, if you can avoid scratching, and just apply your moisturizer, a little bit of cortisone over the counter can also help with that. So those are the things that we can do to prevent dry skin, especially at this time.
Okay, that's very good tips, Doc. If they already have a skin problem, like if they have dermatitis, eczema, or ibang allergies, can you give us practical tips naman? Paano natin pwedeng pamahalaan o i-manage ito?
using soap alternatives, so no soap, bubble baths, shower gels can really dry the skin. So use a soap alternative, something that's gentler and will help lock in moisture. Also, using moisturizer every day, so morning and night if you can. And also serums, that will really get the skin healthier by keeping it hydrated with this product. For those with really dry, itchy skin, you can get some barrier creams from the chemist, so they would be able to advise you what they are. So in terms of treatment, the main thing is that during winter time, our skin, although we develop some dryness, it's not serious, but then it can also lead to not a very good quality of life when you're itchy all over.
True.
And you're miserable and you feel irritated. So you do all those prevention and all this treatment that you can do. But then if it doesn't improve, make sure you seek advice from your GP or from your doctor.
Leading to my next question, Doc. Mahalaga talaga na magpa-check sa GP para mm-hmm. mas malaman talaga natin kung ano yung cause.
Mm-hmm. And also, I've had so many referral to a dermatologist because they have these problems with their skin. But I always say, in Australia, most of these conditions are managed by your own GP.
Mm.
So your GPs are really good, knowledgeable. They know all the first, second line treatments. So you see them first. And of course, if you have tried all this plus prescription medications for your skin, that's when we refer to the dermatologist. So that's how we do it here in Australia. For those Kababayans who are new, international students who, unlike in the Philippines, we go straight to the dermatologist.
That's
so
right.
Here, yeah, everyone sees their GP as their first point of reference. So drink plenty of water, keep healthy, and just be, I always tell my patients and their moms, you just have to be, if you have to moisturize every 2 hours, then do it.
Very helpful tips para sa ating mga allergies ngayong winter. Maraming salamat, Dr. Sharon Sugilon. Laging tandaan, ang kalusugan ay kayamanan. Healthy Pinoy.
Makinig kayo kay Claudette. Ang kalusugan ay tunay na kayamanan. Ayan. So, ikaw Martin, meron ka bang na-develop na allergy nung tumira ka dito sa Australia?
Ako nung unang-una kong tira, hindi ko alam kung allergy, pero yung masakit sa mata, parang kasagsagan yata ng spring yun eh, yung parang hay fever na.
Alam mo, dito ko rin lang na-discover yung hay fever eh. Kasi sa atin, di ba parang, wala namang ganun.
Wala ganun. Hangin lang.
Hangin lang. Yung parang ano yung tawag nila ay parang pag naulanan ka lang tsaka ka-aching or magkakasipon, di ba? Pero dito ko rin, at tsaka, nagkaroon ako noon, nung matagal na akong pwede rin pala yun na kung kahit matagal ka na dito, madedevelop mo yung allergies o yung hay fever na reaction sa pollen kahit matagal ka na dito.
Lalo na yung pag doon ko na-realize, parang allergic rhinitis.
Hindi ko rin yun alam, di ba? Parang dito lang talaga lumalabas yung mga sakit-sakit sa, dahil siguro naninibago rin ang ating katawan. Ayan. So, ingat po kayo at laging tandaan na ang pinakamagandang yaman sa mundo ay ang ating kalusugan. Ayan. Kaya kain ng wasto, huwag magpapagod masyado at syempre iwasan ang mga stress sa buhay.
Always listen to your body, sabi nga nila.
At magbabalik po kami bukas ni TJ Korea, ganap na alas 10 ng umaga. At syempre, isa rin sa mga namimiss ko sa Pilipinas, yung humayahay sa ilalim ng puno ng saging.
Na may sariwang hangin.
Ayan, sa probinsya. Ayan na po ang programa ngayong Miyerkules ng umaga sa kalamubuan ng SBS Filipino.
Apo si Martin Tuanyo.
At Maridel Martinez, nagpapasalamat.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.